be with you.
And with your
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and went to live in Capernaum by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. That what had been said through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way to the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sit in darkness have seen a great light, and on those dwelling in the land overshadowed by death, light has arisen. From that time on, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." As he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen. He said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their net and followed him. He walked along from there and saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. He went around all of Galilee, teaching in the synagogue, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness among the people. The Gospel of the Lord.
The Gospel today describes a very important moment of transition. John the Baptist, from whom Jesus had been baptized, has been arrested and will soon be put to death. Jesus immediately after this withdraws to Galilee and begins his public ministry. So Jesus interpreted the arrest of John the Baptist as a kind of signal that he was to begin. Most likely this was because the prophets had said that the era of the Messiah would be preceded by a time of great tribulation, a time when the opponents of God would rise up against God's purposes. Apparently, Jesus saw this in the arrest of John. The Messiah of Israel had a well-defined job description, the first task of which was to announce and bring about the gathering in of the scattered tribes of Israel. As long as Israel was divided, it was incapable of fulfilling its mission to bring the whole world together in worship of the one true God. God wanted to form of Israel a priestly people who would then be a light to the nations. But as long as Israel was scattered and divided, it lost its power. There were in Israelite history two great exiles. The first happened in the north by the Assyrians in the 8th century BC. They swept down and conquered the northern 10 tribes and took them off into slavery. Thus we have the phrase, the 10 lost tribes of Israel. They were scattered across the Assyrian Empire. The second exile, more famous, took place in the south in the 6th century BC by the Babylonians. While the people from the second exile were brought back within two or three generations, the northern tribes had never been recovered, which is when the southern people started to be called by the word Jew, which comes from the word Judah, instead of the word Israelite. The Jews believed that the Messiah would come and would restore the 10 lost tribes of Israel. Therefore, Jesus began his public ministry in the north, where those 10 tribes had been located. Two of the most prominent tribes of the north were Zebulun and Naphtali, which contained the city of Capernaum and were quite close to Nazareth, where Jesus grew up. And of course, they're mentioned in both the first reading and the gospel. So he begins there because that's where the first exile happened, that scattered those tribes. Symbolically, Jesus was now gathering them back together, bringing the light of God to them first. Notice in the Gospels that Jesus' ministry moves from the north at first to the south later, in Judea where Jerusalem is located. It is there that he will symbolically gather the two southern tribes back together with the original ten. So he's recapitulating these two exiles, first the northern tribes, then the southern tribes. And his message began, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now, we mustn't domesticate or flatten out that important term or word, kingdom. Now, by that word, he did not mean that the people in this new kingdom would just be nice people or something like that. He was speaking of the second of the duties that the Messiah would accomplish, which was to form a new order. The tribes have been gathered, and now God has begun to reign over them. Therefore, repent. Metanoiate in Greek, which means go beyond the mind that you have now. Go beyond your settled attitudes. Start living now as members of the new order, where God is obeyed and given the highest place in everyone's life, so that this kingdom is obvious with God at the head. Jesus began his gathering with 12 men. You ever wondered why 12? And he called them apostles. Again, that number is significant. There are 12 tribes of Israel. He gathers the leaders first and says to them, "You are now to be fishers of men." In other words, these men are asked to bring Jesus' message to the rest of Israel, and later on even to the world, gathering them back into the kingdom where God is king, just as it was when the people were being led in the desert to the promised land. And just as the united Israel was to bring all nations to relationship and worship of the true God, so now these men would indeed bring Jesus' message to the whole world that they knew at the time. They eventually went out to bring the gospel as far as they could take it. All but one were martyred in the process. Paul, as you might remember, was killed in Rome, the center of the universe back then. Tradition has it that he was crucified upside down. Do you know this is still happening today, where Paul and Peter both died? There are now representative members of every nation and race now streaming to St. Peter's Basilica in Rome to visit the heart of Christianity. So it's still happening. God is gathering his people, his tribes together under the aegis of God. But even those who do not go to Rome at some point are being gathered. Look at Africa. Look at Asia. Have you heard that Chinese people are being converted at quite a pace? That Muslims who are getting tired of war and seeing the example of Christian missionaries in their midst are being brought into the new Israel, the church. It's still happening. The gathering is still going on. We also hear today about Jesus' ministry of healing. The third great task of the Messiah was to engage the enemies of Israel, to deal definitively with those powers who were opposed to God's creative intentions. So, in other words, he was to go after sin. In the time of Jesus, these were political oppressors, religious charlatans, self-absorbed Pharisees, people of hatred and violence in positions powerful and not so powerful. Jesus confronts all these enemies of God's kingdom. He calls them to conversion and to repentance. He goes out to Matthew, the tax collector. He goes out to the woman at the well who has five husbands. He challenges the Pharisees. In all of these ways, he's taking on the enemies of Israel. But also opposed to God's purposes is sickness and death. These were also seen as works of the dark powers. Jesus therefore includes in his messianic program a kind of warfare against this form of darkness. In the definitive kingdom of God, there will be no sickness, just as there was not for Adam and Eve. Jesus is a healer because he is a warrior, the Messiah, the anointed of Israel. So, here is the whole messianic program on display in this one gospel. Gather the tribes. Call them to repentance. Make them fishers of men. And now become an agent of healing and liberation. All of us baptized have been grafted onto Christ. In other words, we become Christified. We are meant, therefore, to act as he acted. His job description becomes our job description. We must, in the land of darkness, gather the tribes around him. We must become agents of the gathering of the whole world into God's kingdom. We must continue to be called to repentance and to call each other to the same. We must evangelize. We must take on the enemies of God's creative intentions. So there is our job description as well.